Good morning, everybody, and welcome to WKXL New Hampshire Talk Radio. This is Jane Cormier, your host for Artful Living Today. We thank you for joining us here on WKXL 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. So for those folks that have been joining Artful Living, you know that we've been talking all things opera. We've been interviewing singers from the New Hampshire Opera Idol Finals. And that competition happened on Sunday, 3 o'clock, at the Bank of New Hampshire, the Canton Room. And we thought that we would take today and discuss a little bit about some of the contracts that are awarded for New Hampshire Opera Idol for the summer production that we will be doing at the Scenic Theater, Pittsfield Players, for an opera. We're going to actually be presenting A Night at the Opera featuring the opera I Pagliacci. And I Pagliacci was a very famous piece in its time, and it has remained one of the top 10 pieces in the operatic world. And I thought that it might be nice to talk a little bit about that today. Later on in the second segment, we're going to play a little bit of Pavarotti singing the very famous aria that comes from I Pagliacci. And then we're going to actually talk with a tenor who was one of the finalists for the New Hampshire Opera Idol. And so we'll sort of have a mini tenor segment here for the opera listeners and others who are joining us today. Anyway, I Pagliacci is such a fabulous opera. Put out there that if you've never listened to opera before, this is the one you want to listen to. It's quick, only about an hour and 10 minutes long, and the drama in this piece is just nonstop action, interrelationships in the people in the show. There's nothing wasted in I Pagliacci. There's nothing frivolous in this opera. And the dramatic part of this opera is so well written that even if you're not the least bit understanding the Italian word to word, you definitely fully understand what's happening because it's just so well written. The color of the music and then the acting of the characters within the piece. So really, I Pagliacci is the Italian opera, if you've never listened to opera, that you want to go to. It has a great story, too. Now, they tell us that I Pagliacci is two acts, but really, it's one long act, and it's part of a three-act, one-act opera is written. Actually, it's not Il Trittico, but let's just say that it's usually teamed with another one-act opera. And it's often staged with Cavalleria Rusticana, and it's called like a double bill, Cav and Pag. That's very common. So when we're talking about I Pagliacci, we're just doing the one opera at the Pittsfield Players, and we're going to be presenting it in Italian, fully staged with a little orchestral accompaniment in there. And it's going to be a hoot. I think people will really like it. We'll call it A Night at the Opera. And I understand there will be mocktails available at the opera. We hope people will dress up and make a night of it and have a fancy schmancy experience with the opera. There's an awful lot we can learn when we do that. And I think that we will have a fun time as well. So what is I Pagliacci all about? Well, at the time that it was written, people really loved this opera because the buzz is that it was actually based on a true story. And Leoncavallo, who was the composer of I Pagliacci, told the story that when he was younger, his family servant, they had a family servant that was killed in a romantic entanglement kind of situation. And Leoncavallo's father, who was a judge, presided over that court case, and that this story, I Pagliaccio, which is the clown, or I Pagliacci, which is the plural, the clowns, was written by Leoncavallo based on that story, on that court case. And you know, the more that you look at this opera, the more there is to it. You would think a one-act opera wouldn't be that deep. But let me tell you, it's a very simple opera. There's only like five people in the piece. There's Canio, who's the head of this entertainment troupe that travels from every little town in Italy here and there, right? So Canio is the head of the troupe. He's a tenor. And then we have Neda, who is Canio's wife. And Neda is a very down-to-earth, you know, very earthy character. And she was actually picked up literally off the street by Canio when she was a young, young girl, as she was starving to death. And he took care of her and made her part of the troupe, and then fell in love with her and married her. So Neda is younger than Canio, and certainly owes her life, her literal life, to Canio. But Neda has been having an on-again, off-again affair with a gentleman called Silvio, the nasty baritone. Every opera has to have one. And Silvio is very much in love with Neda. And this is actually the second, or maybe even the third time, that Neda has met with Silvio. Because don't forget, they're traveling, right? So every year they have their schedule. But she's met, when this opera starts, she has met Silvio before. And she has now decided that she's in love with him. And she wants to leave with Silvio at the end of this little troupe tour in this community. But the whole story is sort of upended by somebody named Tonio, who is the fool, all right, the fool, but he's actually the man who starts the opera in the prologue and sort of explains the audience what's going on in this, quote, opera, right? Real people, real feelings, something you'll never forget. But in the opera, Tonio is also in love with Neda, and Neda really has disgust. She just thinks he's disgusting. She wants nothing to do with him. She thinks he's disgraceful, and Tonio hates her. And he's also very jealous of Canio, but Canio is totally oblivious to this. And Tonio, all through the opera, is kind of seeding the jealousy groundwork for Canio to find out about Neda and Silvio. We also have a character, Beppe, who's just a secondary tenor in this role. He's an actor in the piece, and he basically is sort of someone that's watching everything happen at the sidelines, and we sort of see things happening through his eyes in the opera. So that's it. And then they have a grand chorus of villagers that's very important, actually, in the piece. So the you know, act one starts, Canio comes out, he introduces his group, we meet Neda, we meet Tonio, who's really, you know, trying to profess his love for Neda, and she's having none of it. And we see the beginning of Silvio and Neda coming together. Canio sees Neda with someone, but doesn't know who it is and chases him. And, you know, he then goes back and threatens Neda to tell him. And Neda says, no, I'm never telling you his name. But now the show is about to start in the evening. And, of course, Tonio's telling Canio that the lover will be at the play. So keep your eyes open, because he'll be there tonight. So the very end of this act one, what they call act one, is Canio being left alone to sort of go over everything. He's talking about how much he feels the fool. And he has to put on his costume and act the fool in front of this audience. But he's just broken. He's broken and he's sad and, you know, doesn't know what he's going to do. And act one sort of ends on this, you know, really, really sad note as Canio sort of leaves the stage with his costume dragging behind him. So this is the famous aria at this point that everybody knows, this called Vesti la giubba, which is put on the costume. And if you've ever seen it, it's usually sometimes the tenors are putting on white makeup, because this is the era in theater where they had Pierrot and Pierrette, right? And they did like slapstick theater to entertain people, you know, silly stuff, comedic stuff. And this is part of the commedia dell'arte that this little troupe is performing, right? So act one is just putting all of the people in place and then setting up this beautiful aria called Vesti la giubba, put on the costume, sung by Canio, the tenor, of this famous piece. So Act Two then begins, and we have Neda on stage. It starts on stage. She's collecting money from the people who are sitting there and going to watch the play. And they do the Commedia dell'arte little scene where Colombina's husband, the Pagliaccio, the clown, has gone away. And Taddeo, her servant, is at the market. And she's anxiously awaiting her lover, Arlecchino, to come and serenade her. So Act Two sets up what inevitably will be a really dramatic confrontation between Canio and Silvio. All righty, we're going to take a little break here. When we come back, we're going to play the famous Vesti la Giubba. And you can hear Luciano Pavarotti sing this great aria here at WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back out there in Radio Land. This is Jane Cormier, your host, WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. This is Artful Living. And today, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the opera I Pagliacci. And this opera is just a fabulous little dramatic opera, one-act opera, beginning opera 101. Fine way to bring yourself into the operatic medium. And we talked in the first segment about what's happening here, that Canio, who is married to Neda, is very upset because he knows that Neda is seeing someone else. And he sort of sets up all of the drama by a very famous aria called Vesti la Giubba, sung by the famous tenors, right, of the day. Big tenor aria, put on the costume and play the clown, and nobody knows the sadness deep inside. So we're going to play for you a very famous tenor, my favorite, Luciano Pavarotti, and he is singing the famous aria, Vesti la Giubba.
Oh!
Okay. So, fabulous aria. And so we see here poor Canio, who's really, really upset and sad. And now we go into Act Two, which is the beginning of the play within a play, right? Play within the opera. We have Neda, who's on stage, who has previously told Canio, I'll never tell you who this is. You'll never know. And now we're in the play. And she thinks that she's safe, right? Because she's in front of all these people. So she goes out and she's playing her Colombina role. And Arlecchino is her lover in this play. And they're having their little fun, you know, commedia dell'arte scene. And everything seems to be, you know, going along just fine until it becomes really apparent that the clown in the play becomes Canio the man. Right. And he says to her, nome di Dio, right? Quelle stesse parole. Give me the name by God. I want to know, right? He's saying, I want to know your lover's name. She tries to keep up the performance, right? She tries to remind him that the people are watching. And he says, no, pagliaccio non son. No, I am not a clown. And now he really starts to aggressively go after her. He's shaking her. And she keeps trying to play this role. And the innocent Arlecchino comes in. He tries to get this show back on the road. But Canio, by this time, is furious, forgets the play, demands the name. And at this point, Tonio secretly gives Canio a knife. He passes him a knife. And as he's struggling with Neda, Silvio jumps up onto the stage to fight Canio, to pull him away from Neda, and Canio stabs Silvio, and then he kills Neda as well, right? So Neda and Silvio are both gone, dead. And then, as written by Leoncavallo, it's supposed to be Tonio who says, la commedia è finita, the comedy is finished, right? The tenor of the day, Caruso, was so famous, he wanted that last line, la commedia è finita, and they switched it in tradition. Many times it's the tenor, after killing Silvio and Neda, that they let the tenor say the comedy is finished. But really that goes against what the composer wanted. Remember we said in the first segment when we were setting this up, Tonio is the character, is the man who's playing this part, and that's in love. Tonio is in love with Neda, and he's very hateful toward Canio, and he's really upset with her because she's been rebuffing him. So he's actually setting up the manipulation of Canio to kill Neda in this play. And we hear him in the prologue sort of set this up. So as the composer sort of weaves in what happens in the prologue to the very last line of the La Commedia è finita, and it's not sung. I believe it's just spoken, right? Celebrated final line. So I could tell you that in our production, when we do it in July at the Scenic Theater, we will go back to what the composer wanted, and that was Tonio will be the bad guy, and he will be the one saying La Commedia è finita. Because we think that's the way it should go. So anyway, you can tell that this is quite a dramatic, passionate piece of music. And like we were saying in the first segment, really, really a great opera. If you've never seen opera before, this is the one that you will have fun with because the drama is very easy to understand. Also, when we do that performance, before we start, I will be giving a very detailed, you know, we're going to outline everything that's going to happen. And we're not sure if we're going to have subtitles. We might, but if subtitles can, in a small house especially, can be very distracting for what's happening on the stage. So it might be that we'll suffice to just have like a little general instructional thing at the beginning, right? Fun, but tell us what we're seeing. And then just let the opera speak for itself because a well-done Pagliacci doesn't need to have any explanation. So that's what's going to happen. And that opera will be actually played in Pittsfield July 12th, 13th, and 14th. There'll be three performances. And we think we know who our Canio is going to be, but we won't spread that one yet. We're very excited to have a fabulous tenor come in to sing that for the production. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come up onto the other side, we are going to have Yosafat, who is one of the Yosafat Contreras, who is one of the finalists. And we're going to talk to him a little bit about opera and the tenor world. So stay right there. We'll be right back here on WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. Welcome back. Jane Cormier here, your host for Art for Living. Thank you for joining us. WKXL 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and of course 101.9 FM in Manchester. We want to thank you for being with us. If you're just joining us, we have a nice little chat we're going to have with a tenor who was a finalist for the New Hampshire Opera Idol competition, and Yosafat Contreras. Welcome, Yosafat.
Hello, thank you, Jane.
How are you doing today?
I am well. How are you?
I'm doing great. So you know what? Before we start, Yosafat, why don't we tell our audience a little bit about you? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I was born in Brooklyn, New York. Was there about until age four. I grew up in Houston, Texas. I grew up in Houston, Texas. I did the whole Allstate Intense Choir. If you've ever heard of it, in Texas, quite intense.
Okay.
Then I went to undergrad at Sam Houston State University in 2 hours north of Houston. And then my wife and I, actually the year that we got married, moved to Boston because she began her master's in vocal performance at Boston University.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
And yeah, and the rule was that she would go to her master's and then I would go to mine. So while she was in school, I would work and vice versa. So she finished spring of 2020, which, as you can imagine, was not the greatest time. And I started fall of 2020 in my master's in voice pedagogy at the New England Conservatory.
Wow. So very busy household.
Very busy household. Yeah, we actually have a 10-month-old daughter now.
So. Holy moly, that's even more busy. Good for you. So, Yosafat, you're a tenor, right?
And yes, I believe so.
Yeah, I think so. And what roles have you been singing?
Yeah, let's jog some memories. So I did Don Ottavio and Don Giovanni with Connecticut Lyric Opera and with Teatro, I can't remember the name right now, but it was in Mazatlan, Mexico.
Yeah.
I did my international debut last year. And then actually in February, I worked with On-Site Opera here in New York City. And we did a stage production of Bach's Coffee Cantata. So I was able to perform the narrator. I've been Rinuccio in Gianni Schicchi. We draw blank now when you're asking.
Yes, of
right?
course, right? Yeah, that's what happens. But you know what? Actually, we want to play the Dalla Sua Pace that you have sent us, and so. Why don't we take this time to sort of set up what's happening in that aria for our listeners? And then when we come back, we'll play it.
Great, great, great. Yeah. So my mentor would always say, you know, you have to explain it as like an adult and how you would explain it to a child. So I'm going to give a little bit of both, right? The first one is, you know, Don Ottavio has now noticed his love, Donna Anna, is discovered or is suggesting that Don Giovanni is actually the murderer of her father and possibly an abuser. And Don Ottavio is in this moment of, can this be real? This is a man that's always been in my life that I've known. Can this nobleman really be the catalyst of all this destruction. And he goes into this inner monologue of like, you know, I hate to see her in this pain because I feel this. You know, this also affects me. It's not just her that's going through this. And I want to find a way to get us out of this, to get her in her happiness, because I'm in my happiness. And when she's sad, I'm sad. And when I'm in pain, she's in, and, you know, and he's just like, this very moment of like, man, this is intense. And then he's like, okay, off I go. And yes, that's pretty much how he's going to do it.
Yes. So, you know what? I have always found that the poor Don Ottavio was never really well treated. I always felt sorry for him in this opera.
He gets a bad rap.
You know,
sure.
He does, you know, and Donna Anna and all everyone else is all, you know, focused and screaming about, you know, Don Giovanni. And this poor Don Ottavio always trying to do the right thing. And I just feel like totally underappreciated.
Right. He lives in this world of, you know, I just want to follow the rules.
Yeah.
I just want to, like, go through the right channels and, like, you know, Dave, you're sad. How can I make you feel better? And
right,
that's really like kind of how he feels. And then he's like, maybe if I defend you in your honor in front of all our friends, then I'm going to go, you know, later he talks about how he's going to go defend him against Don Giovanni. So.
Well, I think really the fine line with Don Ottavio, I feel, you know, is that when he sings the Dalla Sua Pace, it's very much focused, like you said, if she sighs, I sigh with her. Her anger and sorrow are mine. Very much involved with Donna Anna and her feelings. And this aria is just such a beautiful, you know, it just really highlights that, the beauty of this piece.
Yeah, I find that, especially this one, if done correctly, can be four-dimensional and complex, the feeling of our complexities as humans, because who doesn't want to defend any loved one? Who doesn't feel that pull of how can we fix this in this moment of so much grief and so much anger and so much frustration? How can we find our peace? And I think this is the process that, as a tenor, that we, even us at times, can get two-dimensional.
Yep.
We need to find, how can I portray this as, no, I also need to process through this as, like, I need to find this piece together for us, because how are we going to get to a point where we can be happy and get married if we don't process through this now?
You're totally right. And you know what? For folks that are listening that maybe aren't really knowledgeable, you know, haven't experienced a lot of opera, this piece, I think, is highly underrated because, of course, if you just sing it, it's a pretty sing, you know, and that's fine. But the truth is there is an opportunity here to make this character come alive, like you said, if it's multidimensional, and make us really feel for him. And I think it happens in this piece. You know, if it's done a certain way, we can start to really feel Don Ottavio's, you know, distress.
Yeah, I think that goes for all notes, right? You know, I think we definitely can put it into this canon of it's classical music, so it follows a pretty straightforward formula. But Mozart was ahead of his time. There's a reason for that, and that's because he knew, even then, we needed to write the emotion into the music, and I think that's what he does so beautifully, that it speaks to anyone listening to classical music from 4 years old to as old as whoever. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. I think of all the roles that you've sung, tell us which one that you like the best that you've performed.
You know, now that it's coming back to me, I have loved Don Ottavio, and then the other one that I'm tied with is Nemorino in L'Elisir d'Amore. I mean, those are two, I think I like to call them pretty average human beings that we can find on a daily basis, and they get to be kind of the unsung heroes in their story at times. So it's a good reminder of, like, you know, all of us can be good.
Yes.
All of us can do good in this world.
Absolutely. Well, the Nemorino, I mean, so likable. Actually, both of them are likable, but really down to earth. You've picked a down to earth characters, which is pretty cool. Very good. All right. So, where are you, Yosafat, in your career? What is your next big move? What do you think you'll be doing?
That's a great question, because this is always such a, I have an answer, which is usually difficult for most people. So after this summer, I have won a Fulbright scholarship, and I will be moving to Mexico City in September.
Wow.
For a year on a Fulbright scholarship. Luckily, this Fulbright funds dependents, so I'll be able to bring my daughter and my wife as well.
Beautiful.
The other portion of my life is I am a Mexican-American, and I have done extensive research on mariachi singing specifically.
Oh, cool.
And my other, and what I'm doing is I wrote a project, a research study on going to Mexico City and studying style interpretation of mariachi vocal techniques, because there's actually a huge gap in the field.
Wow.
Where there's not a lot of resources and tools to help mariachi singers. So I'm going there, and then my hope is to return back to the United States and write a curriculum for public schools and universities who have now started to add mariachi into the curriculum.
Isn't that great? Good for you. I mean, boy, is that... That is really different. Good for you. And you'll be able to take your family. You know what?
I will be able to take my family.
We're going to take a little break here. When we come back, we're going to play your aria. And so everybody just stay where you are. WKXL, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester. We will come right back and hear a beautiful rendition of Dalla Sua Pace. Welcome back. Jane Cormier here on Artful Living, WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. Now, if you are just joining us, you've joined us at the right time, because we have a wonderful rendition of an aria from the opera Don Giovanni by Mozart. And our tenor here is Josafat, last name here, I've put the wrong one on my computer, Contreras. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, that's right. I love the accent that you put into it. That's great.
All right. So we have Josafat, who is going to sing this beautiful aria. And we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit after we play it. So just hang tight. Here we go.
Oh!
Very nice. Yosafat, that was beautiful. Are you there?
Yes, I muted myself. I didn't realize that. Thank you so much.
So tell me, where was that made? Where was that recording made?
Yeah, that was in, now I remember, Teatro Angela Peralta in Mazatlan, Mexico, which is on the Pacific side of Mexico, not Baja California, but on the other side.
Okay. Tell me, I have not done any opera or heard opera in Mexico. Is opera, popular in Mexico?
Yeah. There's definitely been an increase in the past, probably like 10, 15 years due to, Rolando Villazón and Jose Carreras and all the great tenors that have come from Mexico and South America. But yeah, really, there's been a huge increase, and there's a national, opera conservatory in Mexico City that's huge and does huge productions. They actually have their own separate company outside of the school. So
cool. Wow. I knew that they probably appreciated opera, but I always thought the song, the Italian songs were the big driving thing in Mexico, but you're
right.
But you know what? I think it's so interesting that you're able to go in September. And will that be a full year scholarship?
Yeah, it's actually one school year, so it'll go from September to May. And they'll cover most expenses, but as always, there's a couple things that we got to take care of ourselves. Hence, why I auditioned for the competition.
There you go. There you go. Well, you know what? Very exciting. So you certainly have told us what's coming up next, and you have a big September, big fall coming up. What do you see on the horizon long term? What do you see as Yosafat Contreras' future?
Yeah, so as you can imagine, this is always, evolving and asking that question constantly. But for now, I love the idea that I get to, master two arts, get to master mariachi music and opera, and finding the connection between those and how they both serve each other. And my hope is that, because currently I'm also a professor of voice in New Jersey at Ocean County College.
Oh.
So my hope is that I continue on this path of, performing and still being able to find time to give back to an art and education that's given me the ability to do this. So I would love to be a professor of voice and still perform, which I'm currently doing, but would love to dive deep into it more. And I think, I've been able to get some connections here in New York City and in Boston, and things are looking great for the future. And now this Fulbright has really opened some more doors of probably when I come back immediately getting my doctorate and then continuing to perform and to teach.
Awesome. I mean, it's great that you're doing right now what you see yourself doing big, in the big future scheme of things.
Right.
Good for you, because that's not always true with singers. Sometimes the life that they live by necessity is quite different than the one that they hope to enter, So
yeah, I worked really hard after I graduated. I've been really hustling for 3-4 years now. And the advice I give anyone that's in this is be nice, show up, and know your music. And honestly, people start recognizing you pretty quickly. And there's a difference between, as you know, being nice and being genuine.
Yes.
And I think all of us have that intrinsic ability to know when that's real. And I think I'd like to pride myself on, I am always authentic, and I do show up that way.
Yes. Well, you know what, Yosafat? I think that there are many singers, young singers today, that could use a lesson about being a good colleague, right? And this nice is really underrated because it's a small world. No matter what anyone thinks, the opera world is very small.
It is.
So being nice is a good thing. Generally speaking, it's a good thing, but it's even better in opera, being a good colleague, showing up, knowing your stuff, and just being a kind person stands out. You stand out doing that.
Yeah, and, you know, I talk about this with my friends, is you get to a point where people start saying your names in rooms that you are not, and what ends up happening then is the real you will always be there no matter what anyone says.
Right.
And that's what I've found in value of, like, I mean, showing my true self at all times, and that's not easy.
Yeah, scary.
It's very scary, and I think that's because this art is so attached to us that if I love myself, then I love my voice, then I get to show that love outward, and I think that's what I've been trying to do now for these last 5 years of really meaningful and direct work to me, which I think has shown up in my career and elsewhere.
Thank you very much for being with us. We're up against a bump here for some advertising business. So thank you for coming in and talking with us. All the best to you in your future. You sound like a great guy. And you have a beautiful voice, so continue onward. WKXL, NewHampshireTalkRadio.com. Thank you for being with us today, and we'll see you next time on Artful Living.